Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. And of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Folks, I may have to start watching Monday Night Raw backwards. I may have to DVR it and watch it in reverse, because then at least I will end the show on a brighter note. It always seems like Raw runs that way. I mean, we start out with Elias in the ring. He got a huge response again. And to be honest with you, they've let him go back to what does WWE stand for and who wants to walk with Elias, because frankly, they don't care. You know, they did the thing with don't do it and let's try to be a serious heel, and they realized half the people are still cheering for him. We don't care. They don't care. So he does a pretty funny song and he insults the Houston Rockets and he insults Seth Rollins, and he does kind of a music video of him just hitting Seth Rollins over and over and over again. And his concern, of course, isn't for Seth Rollins or any damage he may have caused. His concern is for his guitar, which was funny. And Seth Rollins comes down and they have a pretty good, you know, exchange. And this is two people right now who the fans care about. So they start the show off with Elias. They have Seth Rollins come right out at the beginning. Folks care about these characters, so that's good. That's a smart move. Jinder Mahal comes in from behind. And before you know it, they're both beating on Seth Rollins. And this is probably the only scenario, short of someone is about to, you know, execute a kitten, that would cause the fans to pop for Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns comes out to make the save, and the fans do pop for him a little bit because they don't want Seth Rollins beaten up. They don't like Jinder Mahal. So they set this up pretty good. But then Kurt Angle comes out and just does his typical Teddy Long thing. We know what's happening. We know where it's going. And he says, okay, if you guys want to pull this stuff, there's going to be a tag team match. There's going to be a tag team match right now. Okay. Well, I have a newsflash. This would have been better off the main event. This would have been a whole lot better if you said, this is going to close the show tonight, folks. And we'll give everybody a little chance to stew on it. Because nothing else in this show came close to this. And at least it was built up. You gave this a build-up and then instantaneously said, let's cash in on the build-up. Let's not give the fans a chance to say, oh, this might be good, and maybe some backstage stuff will happen in the meantime, and this could be interesting. Nope. It's strike while the iron's hot. We're fighting right here. We're fighting right now. Well, it was a pretty good match. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Jinder Mahal has upped his game a bit. Elias has also upped his game a bit. You know, the one problem with Elias, he always had the personality. He always had the charisma. He always had the mic skills and the unique, you know, concept behind him. His matches were a little slow-paced and sometimes a little boring. And I think, you know, somebody put the right bug in his ear and said, you got to pick this pace up a little bit, because the last few times I've seen Elias, he's been much better. And he definitely was good in this match. And, it was a good match. And much to my surprise and a little bit of disappointment, Elias pins Seth Rollins. And the reason I say a little bit of disappointment is you would have to think that means Elias is not winning at Money in the Bank. And truthfully, I'd rather see Seth Rollins contend for a major belt if you could get the damn thing off of Brock Lesnar, so we could really have a champion that's always in the show and is a good representative and all that stuff. But hey, it is what it is. It was a pretty strong opening to the show, I thought, Mike. And I was very happy with Jinder Mahal's performance, very happy with Elias's performance. They got Roman Reigns over. Seth Rollins is already over. But this felt like the main event leading off Raw.
It really did. And like you said, it should be, you know, it's almost backwards booking to some extent, because this should have been booked as, you know, I understand why they booked that other thing as the main event, because they wanted that moment, but they wanted that moment to end Raw. But this would have been a moment to end Raw on. Him beating Seth Rollins, yeah, that does kind of signal that he's not winning at WrestleMania at the next pay-per-view. But, I mean, that would have, in some people's mind, I would have said, okay, could he, this is, they want, you know, Seth Rollins is the man. Do they really want Elias to beat him? So,
right.
You know,
no, there's a lot that should have been done with that. Plus, you have Jinder Mahal and Roman Reigns feud going on. So, I mean, Sabretooth, that would have worked, I think. I think they blew the order of these matches.
Yeah, I agree. You know, once again, they shot their they shot their load too soon. This should have been like the main event, because think about all like the backstage segments they could have done between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins if they're still trying to get Roman Reigns over with the crowd. And, I mean, like, if they had like interactions, if they had like backstage interactions between him and Seth or whatever,
yep.
You know, you know, that would have like a dig at Roman Reigns more than the crowd anyway, if they're still trying to get him over. But now they just like rushed it. He Seth runs out, boom, here's the match. I mean, another missed opportunity.
Yeah, a big missed opportunity, I think. Good match, though, overall, Todd. It's just that Raw always seems to feel lately like the best matches are right there in the outset.
You're absolutely right there. When Elias says, "Was not just one of my guitars," says one of my favorite guitars got destroyed. That's what he said in the promo last night with about Seth Rollins.
Yeah, look, Elias has great promo skills. He has great facial expressions. He has such a deadpan. That's the thing about Elias. He just has that deadpan, dry humor that works. It works for that character. It works very well. He's got a very strong future in the WWE if they handle it right. We'll see what they do. Anyway, okay, it's a good match, but it felt so phony. That's the only thing I could think of. I'm so tired of general managers storming out saying, "Hold on, wait. You guys want to settle your differences? We're going to settle it right now in a tag team match." God, that's like, how many times? Just once I want a general manager to come out and say, "Look, you're interrupting the damn show. You have no reason airing your crap out here. All four of you guys hit the showers. You're done for the night." Because that's kind of what would really happen. But anyway, we then get on to something really bizarre. Sabretooth is right. Elias got a great digging on the Rockets. And they dug on the Rockets all night, because the very next match, Curtis Hawkins brings out tacos. Now, I don't know if you guys know, but there's something going on with like the NBA. If the away team wins, you get free tacos. And then there was something else where you get free tacos. Like Taco Bell, I guess, is doing this promotion. So they're kind of capitalizing on that. And Curtis Hawkins says, "I'm not losing 200 in a row. So when I win, and I'm going to win, everybody in this arena gets a free taco," which brought out chants of "We want tacos," which is really, really good if you're an advertiser like Taco Bell. Who could have ponied up for free tacos, by the way? What better publicity? See, this is the thing that bothers me the most about pro wrestling in general. They don't think too much outside the box. Okay, I understand. You need Baron Corbin to come down, crash the party, and all the fans say, "We're not getting free tacos because of Baron Corbin. Boo Baron Corbin." And then you could have had, like, Kurt Angle come out and say, courtesy of Taco Bell, everybody actually is getting a free taco or something. They would have sprung for that. But, and great advertising. But anyway, I digress. Hawkins has proved, you know, he's got good mic skills. They just won't use him. James Harden is the guy's name. They call him James Harden. Now, you know, listen, that's a dig on, you know, the Rockets and whatever. I don't know. He was a local wrestler, I think. You know, I don't know what his real name is. But the bottom line is this. It showed that Hawkins, when given something, can do something. You know, he has the mic skills to do something. And I wasn't against Baron Corbin coming out and crashing the party, because that's what they're trying to promote him as. Is he's a guy who spoils everybody's fun. So he comes out. He doesn't touch Hawkins. He touches Harden, gets him disqualified. Nobody gets tacos. And then later, he mashes his face into the taco table, and Curtis Hawkins gets, you know, humiliated. I'm not against that. So far, I was like, okay, we're all starting out okay. Here's what I'm flabbergasted. I had to go back and watch Raw a second time because I missed probably 5 minutes of it, because I mentally zoned out, thinking, what in the world are they thinking? When Kurt Angle confronts Baron Corbin and says, oh, I'd like to know what you think you're doing out there. And he says, well, I have a note from Stephanie McMahon. You have a note from Stephanie McMahon? It's like, I have a note from my mother. I don't have to go to swim class today because I got a note from my mother. This is how you want to promote Baron Corbin? And I am the constable of Raw. The constable of Raw? What the hell is a constable? Have we ever had a constable? Constable's a police officer. I'm the go-between because you've made too many mistakes. So what they're trying to do is transfer Stephanie McMahon's heat to Baron Corbin. Not going to work. Oh, yeah, Corbin can come up with some annoying things, which he's already done. But there's not going to be any major payoff because we've seen Baron Corbin beaten too many times. This would have been the perfect spot to introduce a new character or to introduce a new wrestler. Someone coming in as Stephanie McMahon's hand-picked overseer. You can't call him a constable. An overseer to second-guess Kurt Angle. Someone who can, make him reverse his decisions or whatever. But not Baron Corbin. What happened to the lone wolf? What happened to I'm a lone wolf, I don't need anybody. And I got a letter from Stephanie McMahon. I just don't see this working. The gimmick itself could work. But with someone totally new, not with Baron Corbin. Because he's the wrong guy in the wrong spot. That's the problem. It should have been someone either that you haven't used much, who could be a real thorn in somebody's side. And I would also say it would be a lot better if they were a Harvey Whippleman type, you know, Jim Cornette type, annoying, I can't back it up type. If without Stephanie McMahon, I got nothing type. Not Baron Corbin. What's he, like 6'8"? 250, 260? He's got to run to Stephanie McMahon. That part does not fit Baron Corbin. That part is meant for like a weaselly little heel or a non-wrestling heel or something like that, Mike, but not Baron Corbin.
The two people it would fit are no longer in the company. One is our favorite guy that was with Carmella. It would fit him to a T, and two, Enzo. It would fit those two guys to a T, this role.
Yep. I could see Enzo being really, 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 really good in that role, especially as a heel. But, I mean, there are other people you could have done it with. You have people on the roster. And it just seemed to me, Todd, that taking Baron Corbin and putting him in that role takes away all of his credibility as a tough guy and this lone wolf and the whole thing.
You're absolutely right there. It just don't fit there having Baron Corbin come out to be like, I'm a Stephanie McMahon's whatever he is to her. Like you said, you need like a guy like a Jimmy Hart or Harvey Whiffleman or something like that to be like that little non-wrestling heel.
It would have been the perfect time to introduce like a manager type, you know, a guy who never wrestled, but maybe he was eventually going to get a wrestler or something, Sabretooth.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and this is the kind of heat. I mean, like, yeah, Baron Corbin needs heat. This is the wrong kind of heat he doesn't need. He needs the kind of heat after where he goes out there to that ring and does something low down and fucked up to somebody. He doesn't need heat from Stephanie McMahon because that's like annoying heat. That's like heat that's not gonna. Yeah, it's heat, but it's the wrong kind of heat. I mean, like that's the heat. Like that kind of heat is like that damn Baron Corbin heat, which is not the kind of heat that he wants. He needs stronger heat than that, and making him like a corporate stooge, I guess he is now to Stephanie. That's not the kind of, like you said, he's the wrong character for that. He's the lone wolf. I mean, like you said, he
doesn't
need anybody.
Yeah, it is totally the wrong character. I would have liked to have seen just some guy in a suit, some little dude in a suit who looked like he couldn't beat up, you know, Harvey Whippleman, show up and say, excuse me, you know, my name is so-and-so. Stephanie McMahon has sent me here to be an overseer for you because she feels that you're making a lot of mistakes. And I'm here to make sure you don't make those mistakes. Because then there's no tension like, well, Kurt Angle's not really going to hit this guy because this guy's just some little dude who's annoying. And you know eventually somebody's going to let him have it. But then again, you could have always got him aligned with a wrestler later on down the line. There was so much you could have done with this angle. I'm not against this angle. I'm against the person you put in it. Because that's not what he needs. If anything, that's the type of thing you turn a Baron Corbin on. I'm sick of getting screwed over and Kurt Angle, you know, these guys are making mistakes or whatever. And you know, there's ways to do this that it would have worked and worked beautifully. And you just blew it. I mean, it's not Baron Corbin's spot. He's lost too much. He's supposed to be the lone wolf. He's supposed to be this, that, and the other thing. It's just not going to work. Now here's where things really fall apart, and I'm going to get very, very, very aggravated here in a minute, I'm going to tell you. Versus Nia Jax. And this has got to be the biggest what the fuck moment in the history of the WWE. First off, Ronda Rousey comes out. I don't know why she sits at the table. They ask her direct questions, and she says nothing! Hey, Ronda, what do you think about your big match? Rustling of headphones. Adjusting of headphones. Silence. Then she comes up, not once but twice, with the great line. I guess she thought we missed it the first time, and she thought it was such a good line. Oh, Nia Jax says you're ripe for the picking. Only my husband can say I'm ripe for the picking. I just shrunk down in my chair. I'm just like, well, I don't know. Ronda Rousey is supposed to be a Roddy Piper fan. And she learned nothing. She learned nothing about the psychology. She learned nothing about how to cut a promo. She learned nothing about any of that. Ronda Rousey, listen, you remember where you heard this first, because everybody's up the Ronda Rousey train. It's not working, and it's not going to work. Because despite the fact that she is a legit athlete and probably could kick everybody's ass in the female locker room and maybe half of them in the male locker room, she is not cut out for this. It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen 5 years from now. She's like an Eva Marie. I can tell when somebody's not cut out for this, and she's not going to work. Because she doesn't even get the basic fundamentals. Horrible at the announce desk, but then it's just not bad enough. The WWE has Natty do a step over on the back of Nia Jax and sprain her ankle or her knee. Nia Jax capitalizes on it, pins her, and looks legitimately concerned. Ronda Rousey says, hold my headphones, because, of course, you can't set them down on the desk. Somebody has to hold them. Storms down to the ring like she's just hit her with a steel chair. She's done nothing. And she stands over Natty, who's selling this injury like somebody, you know, Braun Strowman just landed on her. While Nia Jax is walking around saying, are you all right? You okay, Natty? Natty, you're okay. I guess Nia Jax is a face again. Last week she was a heel. Last week she's beating up some girl saying, hey, this is how easy I can beat you. Now she's all like, oh, my God, I might have hurt Natty. Well, here's a newsflash. Even if you just want to buy the angle, Natty hurt herself. Nia Jax didn't, oh, I ran her leg into the ring post, you know, my adrenaline was up and I didn't really mean to put that much force on a drop or something. No. It's just Natty hurt herself. And now suddenly it's Nia Jax's fault. And Nia's, I feel horrible. You hurt yourself. Well, you're in a wrestling match. The point of the wrestling match, I think, is maybe to attempt to somebody down so they can't kick out. I have no idea what this angle is about anymore. And then Ronda Rousey comes off as the idiot by saying, get out of here. Just walk away from it. Just get out of here. Why? She's not doing anything wrong. She didn't hurt Natty. That's number one. And number two, she's showing legitimate concern. So now Ronda Rousey comes off as the idiot. So let's get this straight. Last week, Nia's the idiot. Nia's the bully. After just having that long anti-bullying thing. She's the bully. Oh, you can't do this to me. You can't do that to me. Look at this girl. She's a judo champ. I'm kicking her ass. She got nothing. This week it's, I hurt Natty. Well, you didn't hurt her, though. Even by the stupid booking, Natty hurt herself. And then Ronda Rousey's mad because you hurt Natty. No. The whole premise is wrong. And then they do the damn backstage thing. And I got to tell you that you can be as pro Ronda Rousey as you want to be. I'm not saying she's not a great athlete. I'm not saying she's not a legit tough person. But I have seen 8-year-olds with better acting chops than her. She can't do it. Telling you right now, it's not a matter of give her some time. You could give her until she's Mae Young's age. She's not going to be able to do it because she doesn't get it. She just doesn't get it. And the WWE is doing her no favors. This would have actually been a better match if they just stayed friends and said, no, I really legitimately just want to see if I'm better than her. And Ronda saying, look, you're right. I never faced anybody this big. I respect her. It's going to be real tough for me. Why did you have to have this weird thing where Nia comes out and bullies this girl who's supposed to be a judo champion, and then she accidentally hurts her friend when she really doesn't hurt her friend? It doesn't even make any sense, Mike.
Yeah, this whole experiment has been a cluster from the beginning. I mean, you know, it would have made more sense if both Ronda Rousey and Natty were heels. You know, then you'd have somebody to speak for Ronda Rousey and promote her and do that type of thing, and then you could have kept this whole thing with her being a fake, with a Nia being a face. This whole experiment is going nowhere fast, and I don't know how much money they signed her for, how long they signed her, but they got to do something.
I got to tell you, Sabretooth, it's not working, and it's not going to work.
Yeah, this was a real toad, man. Because I thought they was going to go, even though I wouldn't have agreed, even though I wouldn't have liked it, I thought they was going to go the whole gimmick as to where she's out there, just like playing around, torturing Natty while she's like, "Look, Ronda, look what I'm doing to your friend." Like I was
right.
Going that route. I mean, given what she did last week to that hometown talent last week, that would have been like the logical route to go with this last week. And also the whole injury thing, injuring herself, that goes. What is that saying about that women's division again? That they're weak, they're injuring themselves now, and then like to do with Alexa Bliss later on that night, after she fakes the injury. It's like they're going back, you know, as far as the women's division going. Now they're fragile, they can't handle it, now they're getting injured now. I mean, what are they trying to say about the women's division now? Are they going back with, you know?
They can't even decide whether she's a face or a heel. One minute she's torturing some poor girl. Next minute she's crying, I hurt Natty, when she didn't even hurt her, Todd. Natty hurt herself.
You're absolutely right there. When I saw that match, she looks like she tripped or something right by the ropes or over the ropes or something. Or something like that, like towards like the ledge of the ring.
Yeah,
when
it's
I saw
not even
that,
real. It's just a gimmick. She didn't. But if you're going to have that gimmick, if you're going to have the gimmick of Nia injured Natty, Nia's got to come down on her leg with her weight and then say, I didn't mean to do it that hard. I know it looks like I did it on purpose, but I didn't do it on purpose. I'm sorry, Natty. But to have Natty try to pull a move off and sprain her ankle or wrench her knee, that's not – how's that Nia Jax's fault? I don't know. And there's just no there is no saving. There is no saving Ronda Rousey. Did you hear her Sabretooth repeat that line twice about only my husband can say I'm ripe for the picking?
I sure did. I mean, yeah, she said it twice, but she said it like once. For, I mean, she said it like once for the commercial break. Then after the commercial break, she said it again. Yeah, I remember. I'm like, I thought like they like relooped the song. She said it. I mean, the exact same way she said it. I thought like they like replayed the segment or something. I'm like, what the hell? Did she say that twice? Yeah.
I guess she thought it was that good of a line, and I'm just shrinking in my seat, saying, "Oh God, God." Please get her off the microphone. Just get her off the microphone. She can't. I'm sorry. She can't do it. It's just awful. So then we get Braun Strowman versus Bobby Roode. And this is going to aggravate me. Everybody here knows I am not a huge Bobby Roode fan. I think he's a fantastic athlete. I think he's boring. That's the problem. Well, especially as a face. You have Finn Balor twice take on Braun Strowman saying, I'm gonna slay the beast. I'm not afraid. I'm going out there. But Bobby Roode is forced to say, I'm just going to try to survive. I know I can't win. Are you insane? Have you lost your mind? This is a man who's going to a Money in the Bank instead of saying, I'm going to go out there and prove to everyone just how glorious I am. No, I'm not as big as Braun Strowman. No, I'm not as powerful as Braun Strowman. But Braun Strowman isn't glorious. I've spent 20 years in this business taking people down three times my size. I'm going to do it again tonight. Nope. Nope. Let's write something for him where he just humiliates himself and says, I know I can't possibly win, but I will try to survive if I can. Oh, my God. My head was exploding. And then we get this weird thing where he just sets the ladder up between the guardrail and Braun Strowman, who has tipped over an ambulance, and gets on the other side of it and says, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know. Move the ladder? What the hell was the – I don't even understand what the concept was, that Braun Strowman's afraid of a ladder, so he runs to it and says, uh-oh, there's a ladder blocking me. Now what will I do? Bobby Roode has outsmarted me. I guess I'll just have to take the count out. I don't understand what the hell that was supposed to be. So then he smashes it with his bare hands, which was a good thing. But let me tell you something, folks. If you think I'm barking up the wrong tree here, I just want you to remember something. Finn Balor came a heartbeat away and possibly only, supposedly booking-wise, Kevin Owen, saved Braun Strowman from an upset loss to Finn Balor. Bobby Roode couldn't get in three punches. Bobby Roode was mauled like an animal. So which is it? Is Braun Strowman an invincible guy who can stand up to a guy twice the size of Finn Balor, by the way? Or is he a guy that can't handle Finn Balor? I mean, we can't have it both ways, Mike. And this was inconsistent booking, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, it was inconsistent booking. And look, but Braun Strowman say that whole thing. You know that, like you said, we don't know what was gonna be, what was the thought with the ladder. But he saved that whole situation because that's a 40-pound ladder, but a guy that big and that strong, I don't care how sturdy the ladder is made, if he hits it with all his strength, the least that's going to happen is he's going to bend it, you know. That's the least that's going to happen. So, you know, that ladder breaking, that was a good spot. That was a logical spot, and it kind of saved it for me. But yeah, you know, he loses to Bout, who's 170 pounds, correct? Soaking wet,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, whereas Bobby Roode is what, 240?
Yeah, and he didn't lose
and
to him, Mike,
beat
but he almost lost to him. And the point was, Balor hung with him for like 15 minutes. Bobby Roode had to run for his life, Sabretooth, and then didn't get in but two punches that had no effect.
Right. And you're so right about that. And you're so right about that pre-match segment after where he's seen after Survive. You know, he's like a scared rabbit going against Braun Strowman, and that's not the kind of character he is. I mean, like the character that he's portraying, he's like a Ric Flair type character with the robe and the glorious music. I mean, Ric Flair has fought Vader, The Undertaker, guys much bigger. He never once said those things. I'd go out there to survive. No. He says, "I'm the Nature Boy. I'm gonna go out there style." You know what I'm saying? He still had that bravado. He still had that bravado no matter who he was fighting. Bobby Roode should have done the same damn.
Of course, especially since last week Finn Balor had all the bravery in the world and said, "I'm going out there and I'm going to slay the giant." He didn't say, "Look, compared to him, I'm like a pea shooter hitting King Kong. I guess I'm going out to die, but I'll give it my best shot." No, he didn't say that at all. He was like, "I'm going out there and prove I'm an extraordinary man who does extraordinary things." Then next week they say, "Hey, Bobby Roode, you practically got to have a nervous breakdown over the fact you're fighting Braun Strowman. I've never fought anybody like him. I'm just going to try to survive. I don't know." Oh, my God. You know what it's like? It's like they change writers every week, and everybody forgets what they did last week. Because if I'm the writer for this show, and you bring that up to me, I'm going to say, wait, hold the phone. Did we not just show last week that Finn Balor can hang with him and almost beat him? Did we not just show that Finn Balor is going to go out there and was, you know, confident he could win? This is Bobby Roode. He's 20 years in this business. We can't. He's not James Ellsworth. That's what you do to James Ellsworth. I don't know. They booked me to fight him. Maybe I'll survive. I hope I will. That's what you do to James Ellsworth, not Bobby Roode. Would you do it to Bobby Lashley? To Seth Rollins? It's ridiculous. Speaking of which, we get to the Bobby Lashley segment, and I'm done. Bobby Lashley is the female version of Ronda Rousey. He comes out with a stupid smile on his face and his stupid hats and his stupid outfits. He looks about as much like a wrestler as I don't know who. If it wasn't for the fact that he was so jacked up, he wouldn't even be intimidating. Sami Zayn comes out and starts. It wasn't bad enough. The sisters thing wasn't bad enough. Now he has a Twitter account. All he posts is all kinds of positive messages. You can do it. Keep trying. Be the little engine that could. Never give up. Follow your dreams. Oh, my God. I just can't take any more of this. I can't take it. I can't take any more of this feud. And it's wasting Sami Zayn, who is so good on the microphone. You know, Sami Zayn is so good on the mic, he almost saved it. He almost saved it. There were times when you're like, he's coming so close to trying to save this, but there's no saving it. Because you got Bobby Lashley in the ring grinning like I don't know what. It's all funny. I don't care. Sami's such a funny guy. Then they finally get that one segment where he says, "I don't even believe you served in the military." And now he's like, "Oh, okay. Now I'm mad." So, okay, let me get this straight. You can insult my family. You can insult my sisters. You can insult my fans, my reputation. But something so easily proven as I served in the military here, you know, that angers me. Okay. Well, that's dumb. That's just dumb. And I just don't understand what this feud is about. I just don't. I don't understand what this feud is about. And Bobby Lashley has proven me right when I said in Impact Wrestling, he was okay as a heel on the microphone. He could be annoying in his arrogance. But as a face, he is just an empty suit with a smile on his face. This is not working. Sami Zayn is attempting to promote a wrestling match with a broomstick. That's how much personality he has. And then he comes out and like says, well, I know, Sammy, you're just trying to promote our match. I know you're just trying to get some hype for our match. Oh. Wow. Wow. I don't know. Bobby Lashley's a mistake. Promoted him wrong. That's number one. It's your fault. It's half your fault. You should have promoted him as a badass heel who came in that federation with a chip on his shoulder that he's an MMA guy just as tough as Brock Lesnar or anybody else, and set him up against Braun Strowman. But this whole smiling, I love my sisters, I have Instagram accounts. What next? He's going to save a puppy from a burning building? I mean, at some point, you've got to say, Sabretooth, enough is enough with this wholesome Bobby Lashley nonsense.
Like you said, man, I mean, like, they've murdered them wrong from the get-go. I mean, like you said, man, like, this guy should have came in as a heel or just badass without tag teaming him up with Braun Strowman. He should have stood alone by himself, none of this tag team crap. And if they was going to have a feud with him and Sami Zayn, it sure as hell shouldn't be like this after where, he should have came back with getting that championship. I mean, that should be his main focus of coming back to get that championship off Brock Lesnar. He should have came back as a legitimate badass, just as bad as Brock Lesnar. I mean, sure, have the feud with Sami Zayn, but don't make it like, but they're doing it all wrong. Sami Zayn's doing nothing wrong. He's being Sami Zayn. But they're just getting Lashley's character. I mean, I feel awkward when he comes out wearing these suits and the hat. Like you said, I mean, who is he, Mr. Rogers? I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's terrible. Somebody got to change his wardrobe and tell him, you know, you don't come in street clothes. Look, the way to have handled Bobby Lashley is to have him come in and say, I'm an MMA guy. I'm a Bellator guy. I can run circles around all these people. And when Braun Strowman gets mentioned, just say, Braun Strowman wouldn't last 5 seconds in the ring with me. Do you understand what I am? I'm a real fighter. I'm not some freak in nature. I could take him down. Better than that, I'll tap him out. But then anytime Braun Strowman shows up, Bobby Lashley should hit the high road and say, well, I don't have to fight him right now. At some point, I'll fight him and I'll prove what I'm saying. But I'm not afraid of him, but I ain't fighting him now. Make the fans wait for that moment. You know what I mean, Mike? The way they're handling Bobby Lashley now, like it's just like Sabretooth said, he's Mr. Rogers in a weird hat.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, it would be better if he was Mr. I'm blanking on the character that Eddie Murphy played that time on set, Mr. Rodney's Neighborhood or whatever it was. It'd be better if he was that. But it would be better if they brought him in as a heel for one. They have very few heels on Raw. And two, I mean, I can only name Sammy and Kevin right now as the two heels on Raw. And two, you know, he would fit. A guy, a strong, silent type, doesn't have to talk, you know.
Yep.
Put him with somebody like Paul Heyman, whatever, you know. That's what they
should
have done.
Even if you didn't
want to
put him with anybody, Mike, he's okay as a bad guy on the microphone. He's just not good, Todd, as a face.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, he should be more like a badass heel thing. Like, this face thing is not working for him. It's not working.
It's not working because it's not even his personality. And if it is his personality, then it's a lousy personality for wrestling because it's just making him look stupid. It's just making him look stupid. Speaking of making people look stupid, we then have the Battle Royal. And someone in writing needs to tell me why you felt it was necessary to have Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre in this if they're not winning it. There was absolutely no reason in God's green earth to have these two in this battle royal. As a matter of fact, if they weren't in the battle royal, then they could have had that cookie of saying, of course we weren't in the battle royal because the WWE competition here is afraid of us. They know we're better than any of those tag teams. They kept us out of that battle royal, didn't they? Because they knew what was going to happen if we got in there. Then they would have had that caveat to hang their hat on and say, big deal, look who won. Like these guys, you know, like those guys are better than us. No, Let's send him out there. And, oh, by the way, let's get him eliminated first. First. I don't know what you're doing, WWE. I don't know. I wish someone would sit down and explain to me what your game plan is and why you think this is a good idea. Because it's so wrong and it's so off kilter on every aspect that it's almost self-destructive. It's almost as if you've hired writers and gave them carte blanche and they said, how do I destroy the WWE? Well, McIntyre and Ziggler's doing pretty good. Let's get them, to look stupid. Oh, yeah, they hired Bobby Lashley. We better make him look like a goof. Oh, man, they signed Ronda Rousey. Oh, that could be good for them. Let's put her on the mic when she has nothing to say and she can't act. Oh, Alexa Bliss is going over well. Here's a thought. Let's not show her on Raw for about 7 weeks. And when we do, it's only for 10 seconds. It's almost like they're doing it on purpose. Almost self-destructive. So the B-team win, that's fine. It's a comedy act. Let's understand this. The B-team is a comedy act. I do not want comedy tag team champions. They have a place, and it's a good place. And they can go for the titles, and they can be in, you know, the top couple of tag teams. But you cannot, absolutely cannot, put them in a situation where they look like they're superior to Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. I know you're going to say, well, they had a lucky win. It doesn't matter. Dolph Ziggler was eliminated first. A lot of that heat is gone. And you could say, well, they didn't do it to Drew McIntyre. It doesn't matter. They didn't belong in the match. Their spot, Sabretooth, would have been to be the one saying, why weren't we in the match? Well, we all know why we weren't. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, like what they did last night, I mean, like they might as well have put them in that damn food fight last week they had. I mean, because that right there, it made every one of their tag teams a joke anyway, put them in that big-ass food fight. And like, when that announced the, I mean, like, and I knew that the B team was winning, but when McIntyre and Dolph came out, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to win this, because like, there's no other reason to bring these guys out unless they're going to win it. Anything less is going to kill them. Anything less. If they don't win this thing, then they're going to kill these guys. I genuinely thought that they was going to win this thing if they was in it. But like you said, they were the first ones out. They were the first ones out. There's no excuse for that, man. Stupid.
First ones out, Mike. I mean, that's insult to injury.
That is insult to injury, you know, but I say this. One of the positive things that came out of this match is the possible tease of a breakup between Beauty and the Man Beast. You know, that whole accidental knockoff of the apron by what I'm talking
Slater.
About. That Slater. Yeah, he's trying to body slam, I believe it was Dallas, and he hits his own partner. So that's sort of a positive now. And we knew this was kind of coming because Rhino was kind of coming down to the end of his career, and he wants to probably keep running for office or whatever. So
yeah.
So this is So that was a positive, and we got to see if they kind of mess this up or if they can get this potential breakup right, you know?
Here's the problem, though, Mike. Here's why it's not really a positive. What does it lead to? A fight with Slater versus Rhino that the fans don't care about because you've done nothing with them? A one shot at a pay-per-view pre-show? Oh, Slater wins. Bye, Rhino. Nice career. Good luck in your political future. And Slater back to losing to everybody. It doesn't really accomplish anything. It's just what would have accomplished something is if you're going to have Dolph Ziggler and McIntyre in it, which I would not have. I would have had them come out at the end and destroy the B team. But either way, if you're going to do that, they should have thought they won and still had the B team in it. And then, you know, somebody accidentally knocks out Ziggler. Or, you know, Ziggler doesn't see them and, oops, out they went, and then Ziggler and McIntyre destroy them anyway. Something like that, but not this, where they're the first guys out. They didn't last as long as, oh, God, forget it. There's just no way to justify this. There is no way to justify it. It's mind-bogglingly bad. So we then get to the women's tag team, six-woman tag team match. Every time I see Ember Moon, I think to myself, man, have they missed the boat. She has such a good entrance and such a good look. I wish she was a heel. I wish she had come off as some kind of like dark voodoo princess type thing, you know, and just been like, she doesn't say much, but she's hard to beat. Every time she walks down that aisle, I'm like, she looks great. The entrance looks great. And then, you know, they put the microphone in front of her. She's, hey, girls, how's everybody doing? And you're like, oh, well, there goes that. Every time I see her, I keep thinking to myself, God, if she was a girl who said nothing, just had that evil look of like a possessed, you know, voodoo princess type thing, you would have a really unique girl. And instead, she's almost like a third-rate Naomi. It's not working for me. But anyway, she's with Sasha Banks. And for some reason, even though Bayley is backstage, Alexa Bliss. Instantaneously pretends to hurt herself and leaves because, of course, she wasn't on the show last week and the week before that. So why give the fans any Alexa Bliss when she's probably the one a lot of people come to see in the women's division? Why do that? Bayley runs out at the end and makes the save. Now, here's where things get stupid. Backstage, Sasha Banks, Ember Moon, and Bayley are all happy about their win. And Ember Moon, who, again, is much better being a darker character, says, you know, you two should really just hug it out and make up because, after all, Bayley saved us. No matter how you look at it, Bayley saved us. So maybe you two have something to talk about. They're just about to hug, and Kurt Angle comes in because he's been bullied by Constable Corbin, who told him she didn't really belong in the match, so she can't substitute and they can't win. Why not? Why not? It was 3-on-2, so that's not fair. So if one of them gets hurt, you can logically make a substitution. If a football player gets hurt on the team, do they just say we're one down? Or do they substitute somebody? So that doesn't make any sense. None. Zero. Kurt Angle buckling because he's afraid of Stephanie McMahon makes zero sense. None. But here's what makes even less sense. They're just about to say, let's put our past differences behind us and hug. And Kurt Angle says, I'm sorry, but because Bayley wasn't legally in the match, you guys are disqualified and the Riot Squad win. And apparently Sasha holds that against Bayley. Because that's Bayley's fault? None of this made a lick of sense. It was the stupidest writing I have seen on Raw in ages, Sabretooth.
Yeah, and like you say, why was Alexa Bliss even in that match? She's a heel. If they really wanted to capitalize on Alexa Bliss, how about do some of those moments of Bliss segments on her opponents? On her opponent for Money in the Bank. Have her do like a, you know, like, have her like, you know, like she did Nia Jax, you know, like with those moments of bliss, have her do that to one of her opponents, you know, or to all of them every week until the build, you know, have that.
Right.
But to put it in like a match with like a couple of faces, like you said, she was just there because she wasn't there last week, which makes no sense if she fakes an injury. And yeah, and it don't make sense. Like, I mean, Bayley's heart is in the right place. Why would they be mad at Bayley for? She came out there to help.
They wouldn't be mad at Bayley, and you can't change the match because it was 2-on-1. Now, I know they're saying, well, it was all the participants for the Money in the Bank ladder match. I get that. But it still doesn't make any sense, Mike. And why would it be Bayley's fault?
It's not Bayley's fault. That's the thing. It doesn't make sense. And as far as Ember Moon goes, you know, you talked about this darkness gimmick, this thing. It'd be a darker gimmick. It should be a darker voodoo princess gimmick. As much as we didn't like... you know, as much as we thought it was Glow was a joke, Glow had a girl, had a woman named Big Bad Voodoo Mama. It's the exact same gimmick, is the exact same thing, but they got that gimmick right for Glow. Big Bad Voodoo Mama was a voodoo princess, you know? That was the gimmick. And this is that's what the gimmick should be for Ember Moon. In fact, she would fit as a possible Sister Abigail type character.
As Sabretooth is saying in the chat room, like a Papa Shango, if you brought her out as this girl who had some kind of like voodoo religious thing, she doesn't have to be supernatural. I'm not saying supernatural. Voodoo's a religion. So, I mean, if she came out as some kind of voodoo priestess type thing, who just, if she did talk, she spouted very short little dark segments, but mostly just kept quiet and came out with those contacts and the fire thing behind her and the whole thing and Ember Moon. It sounds real eerie. It looks real eerie. She has such a great look, and she's a good athlete. But man, oh man, can't come. It would be like trying to have a gimmick like The Undertaker or Kane or Bray Wyatt and then come out and just be like, hey guys, what's up? How's everybody doing today? What are we eating after the show? You can't. I can't see why they can't see. She belongs in that darker void. They gave her the entrance. They know what it is. Would be great for her. I mean, I think she would excel being a character like that. But hey, what do we know, right? Anyway, the Riot Squad wins by disqualification. And then we get Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens. And, you know, listen, these guys have had some great NXT matches. One was not one of them. Was not one of them. You ended Raw with a disqualification win? That's how Raw ended? And then Finn Balor climbs up to the ladder to grab the Money in the Bank briefcase, which in effect says, I'm not winning, so if you want a photo op with me with the Money in the Bank briefcase, this is it. Anybody who pulls that thing off of there before Money in the Bank ain't winning it. And Finn Balor's not winning it. And the only good thing that came out of this match was Kevin Owens' promo where he says, I don't even know why people like Finn Balor because what the hell is the Balor Club? And what's that based on? He's won nothing. And what's this whole too sweet thing? What's too sweet? That he can't beat Braun Strowman? That he can't keep his belt? That he fails every time he goes out to do something? It's such a good point. You can't let the bad guys have the good points. If you want to promote Finn Balor, promote Finn Balor. Then promote him as an underdog who gets his ass whooped by bigger guys, but he just won't go away, and eventually he wears them down. Not a little mini Superman who has equal strength to people three times his size, who can stand toe-to-toe with the Giants. Why? Now, to your credit, you're starting to play that down a little bit. I fully believe he can handle a guy like Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens isn't supposed to be a powerhouse or whatever, and Kevin Owens is a little heavier, so he's the perfect guy for Finn Balor to wear out. But, you know, the bottom line of the situation is, through this whole night, I sided with the heels. I'm like, you know, if that really is Bobby Lashley's Instagram, that's corny bullshit that he didn't write. And then he said, well, it led to his fan page where you can buy stuff. Wow, that's shameless self-promotion. So I'm with Sami Zayn saying, well, that's weird. That guy's a nut. And then I'm with Kevin Owens when he says, well, you know, what's there to like about the Balor Club? What did he do? What's he done? You can't side with them. They're not supposed to be the guys that have the good points, Sabretooth. They're supposed to be the guys who are, you know, totally off kilter.
Exactly. And also, like, during that Bobby Lashley thing, I mean, the whole, like, fan club 1999 thing, I mean, like, was that true? I mean, like, if it wasn't, I mean, like, Lashley didn't even try to disprove that. It's like, yeah, so it's
true. He didn't deny it.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, damn. I mean, Sami Zayn's right then. That is self-promotion. I mean, not the shit. And also, when is Kevin Owens scared of heights to jump off the damn ladder? I mean, he does a damn frog splash off the top rope, and that's no higher than what he does off the top rope. What the hell?
You know, Sabretooth, when I first saw that, I thought he really did wobble with the ladder, and he don't want to kill Finn Balor. That's what I thought happened. I thought he was like, uh-oh, wait a minute. This ladder's not steady enough for me to do this. But then he did it again, and I'm like, no, no, that's not what it is at all.
I mean,
so
he
I don't
have the damn top rope. I mean, what the heck? I mean, what?
It was the weirdest thing I've seen. And then Finn Balor does his coup de grace, and you can tell he doesn't even hit him. The camera side goes totally to the other side, and it's just like a sideways drop kick. It was really bad, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. It was really horrible with that match with Owens and Balor. The match ended in the disqualification. That's how the show ended last night. Like,
that's a poor way to end
a
show. I'm sorry, but that's a poor way to end Raw. That is a piss poor way to end Raw. So if you watched it in reverse, you were like, well, okay, you know. But if you watch it the right way, it just gets progressively worse. It's funny. It's like, okay, this was a pretty good match. This is a pretty good spot. And it's okay, it's an okay spot. Oh, that's getting worse. That's worse. It's worse. Oh, my God. It's getting horrible. Raw's getting bad. It's getting really bad. And someone has got to correct this writing team. Someone has got to get a hold of them and say, we need continuity from week to week. We can't have a man who hung with 20 minutes last week not be able to hang with Kevin Owens, or vice versa. We can't have Bobby Roode not be able to hang with Braun Strowman for 2 minutes without running away when Finn Balor almost beat him. You can't have that. You can't have Nia Jax 1 week be a heel and the next week she's concerned about her friend who she didn't even hurt. You can't have Bobby Lashley say, you can insult my sisters and say they have mustaches and that I bullied them and beat them up and everything. And I'll just smile and say, aren't you a funny guy, Sammy? But if you say you're probably not really in the military when I have all the military garb to prove it, then I'll get mad at you. You just can't have this. There's no continuity whatsoever. Mike, how do you rate Raw this week?
You know, to me, it's got to be a D show, you know. And look, I don't know, you didn't mention the whole Bray Wyatt. I liked the Bray Wyatt promo, though. I really did. You know, it was an all right promo by Bray. And if they keep letting these teams win, his team win, then his promos, his words. What do we used to say about Bray Wyatt? He was a guy that could talk a good game but couldn't follow through on it. So if they allow him to follow through on his talk, then you know I'm happy to see the tag team. Even though I know where they're going with it, I'm happy to see if they allow him to follow through on what he says. You know,
if they do, what I wish is that Bray Wyatt's words would be too dark for Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy would kind of try to lighten it up, and we'd see some tension there. Like, they're on the same page, kind of, but one's a little darker than the other, and it's obvious that Bray Wyatt's personality is still coming out. You know, there's things you could have done to tease that would make that a lot better promo. Sabretooth, what do you rate this Raw?
I'm giving it a D-, man. Damn near an F, man, because, like, they blew that load again with their first match. Blown opportunities, a lot of what-the-fuck moments in a bad way. And once again, I'm left with nothing to look forward to next week. So a D-.
You're right. There is nothing. You know what's the problem, I think, Todd? They got too much time now between pay-per-views. They used to only have like a couple of weeks, and now they got so long, they don't know what to do with it.
You're absolutely right there. They got nothing. They don't have, I remember back in the old days with pay-per-views, you didn't have them like every month or every couple weeks. You had like every couple.
Well, I mean, they'd have
like
that slow build, Todd. But now they got so much time. They're building. They can't fill that time. It seems they don't have enough creativity to fill the time between the pay per views. What do you give Raw this week?
I gotta go with Mike. The same grade.
Everybody's giving it a D. I'm giving it a D too. Look, here's the deal. You absolutely 100% cannot hang your hat on Ronda Rousey. She's not going to work. You're not going to be able to hang your hat on Bobby Lashley the way you're promoting him. It's not going to work. You guys need to write this ship, and you need to write it right away. It's either Braun Strowman's an indestructible monster who can tear a ladder in half, that's a rigged ladder, by the way, with his bare hands, or he's a guy who can't get out of his way and Finn Balor almost beat him. Either he's a guy who took an NXT champion and crushed him, and backstage, this man admitted, I'm going out to be crushed, I just hope I survive, even though he's an NXT champion, or he's a guy that Finn Balor's not afraid of and feels he's equal to. You have got to have some consistency here. And I'm telling you right now, I am done with the Bayley and Sasha thing. It's old. It's going nowhere. End this nonsense. End it. Fans don't care. I hope that we get a good SmackDown tonight. We had a pretty good SmackDown last week. So I hope we have a good SmackDown this week. Potential to. And SmackDown, for the last couple of weeks, has been a superior show to Raw. Raw's got an extra hour and don't know what to do with it. SmackDown is more concise. They have longer matches. They have a better storyline flow. And we will see what happens. I was pretty happy overall with SmackDown last week. This Raw is a D, and we can't have too many more of these. I mean, we got one, two more shows before the go-home show. And it's one or two. I don't even know. I guess one. And this is looking poor. It's looking poor. Bobby Roode, why would you have him win the ladder match? if he can't even hang with Braun Strowman for 2 seconds, and he's going to be a guy who could be your champion. Well, gee, then if he wins it, I guess Braun Strowman's going to be raising his hand. Oh, give me a title shot. Come on, folks. Once again, we deserve better than this, and we're not getting it, and that's a shame. We'll see you Friday with the SmackDown report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.